Praise God. Praise the Lord. Welcome all of you here this evening. And welcome everyone joining us right now on the live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from you know where, Baltimore Christian Faith Center. Amen. That's right, brother, in Randallstown, Maryland. Amen. Praise God. Welcome all of you. It's good to have you this evening. Thank you so much for joining. As I sometimes say, thank you for watching this, even though it's after Sunday. This could be Monday. You might be watching this on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, or whenever it might be. But ultimately, my wish, my desire, my want is for the Holy Spirit to speak to you directly. It's for the Spirit of God to witness in your heart, for the Spirit of God to speak to you on a one-on-one basis. I feel so very much blessed. And I spoke about this morning. If those of you that were here and those of you that were watching online, that I have been blessed with a wonderful, magnificent, out of this world knockout of a wife.
Amen.
Wow. Indeed. Yes. And she compliments me in so many different ways. And one of the ways also that I feel very much blessed is how she's connected with the Lord, you know, in the spiritual sense. And she has a slightly different walk than I do, and reasonably so. We are all different, every single one of us. We all have our own characteristics. We have our own personalities. We have our own everything. We are special in the eyes of God, and we are unique. So she oftentimes sees things that otherwise I would not see. And today, she saw the glory of God in this house. Behind me and over top of me as I was ministering. Praise God. To Him be the glory. To Him be the glory. To our God Almighty. But what I'm trying to say is that I feel very much blessed when I am sharing the Word of God with you and when I'm imparting what the Spirit has placed in my heart to share with the congregation, and the Word goes forth and it does not return void. That is awesome. To me, that's everything. You know, the labor and the time that you put in, and you invest yourself in, and you do all that you can to please our God. Even though I don't see Him, I believe in Him. And for the Lord to honor His Word, and to grace us, and to bless us with His presence, as He promised us in His Word that He would, when He said that He would be amongst our midst, if only two or three are gathered together, in His name. And that's exactly what we are doing now, is gathering together in His name for the honor and glory of Him and Him alone. Excuse me. Pardon me, I had to clear my throat. But nonetheless, to God be the glory. And as I always say, may you see our Lord Jesus. May you hear from Him personally. Praise God. Today we're going to be talking about standing with God. Standing with the Lord. I could have titled this message, excuse me, in different ways, but I decided to go with standing with God. And before we dive into the Word, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bless Your holy name. Thank You, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank You, Lord, for Your wonderful blessing. That is, Lord, communion and fellowship. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. Thank You so very much, Lord. Lord, thank You, Lord, for being here this evening. And Lord, I pray that everyone who is here and everyone right now watching this live stream, I pray, Lord, that You will bless them equally. Blessed be Your holy name, Lord. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading for this evening is going to come from the book of Romans. And we're going to cover a few verses. We're going to start reading from verses 4 through Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. I'm ready for that verse. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Praise God. Now, in verses 4, the scripture tells us to walk, this spiritual walk. Verses 4 says that we also should walk in newness of life. How do you translate? How do you interpret? How does it sound to you in walking in the newness of life? The walk in verse 4 is sometimes quite difficult. But the Apostle Paul provides encouragement right now in the passage that we just read in Romans chapter 6. Then why do I say that it's difficult? It's difficult in the sense that, as I shared this morning, sometimes things could weigh us down. It's difficult in the essence of us growing, of us moving forward, of us maturing, developing. And that could be the cause, due to the cause of many things. This morning I mentioned unforgiveness. I elaborated extensively on unforgiveness. It could be hatred. It could be something that might be tying you down. For example, you might be overcommitted to your job or overcommitted to something, whatever the case might be. And oftentimes people find it to be difficult. Some people have a very close bond and not even connection, but they are loyal to their finances. And their finances is everything to them. Potentially they might be buried in debt. So therefore they feel as though they have to work and work and work and work and work just to make sure they could maintain whatever they're trying to maintain. So there's many different degrees whereas though our walk with Christ is difficult. But there is encouragement, though. There is encouragement. And as difficult as our march from bondage might be from sometimes, as difficult as it is for us to break away from certain things, the glory of the resurrection and the complete putting off of the flesh is something for us to look forward to. It's something that is ahead of us. Now here, moving on to verses 5, the word united, right? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death. I want to focus right now on this word united. United also is referred to as planted. Specifically in the King James Version. In verses 5, it draws our attention because elsewhere it's also translated as grafted or engrafted. In John chapter 15, our Lord Jesus Christ describes himself as one thing, and that is the vine, right? The Lord says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now in Romans chapter 9, The Apostle Paul compares converted Israelites to natural branches, and then Gentiles as unnatural branches grafted. Grafted into the same vine. Union is achieved with all sharing parts. All are receiving of the same source, and all are striving to produce the same fruit. All right? You with me so far? Yes? Now, a common question that's asked, because right now we're talking about our walk, we're talking about unity, grafted, connection. So a common question that people ask is this: how do we know that we are attached to the vine? How do we know? Well, here's an easy and simple way that we're going to describe this evening. I want to bring to your attention right now 1 John chapter 2. We're going to cover a few verses here from verses 3 through 6. And I'm ready for that, please. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Aha! He who says he abides in him ought himself also, look at that, to walk just as he walked. There we go. If in case you would be asking, how do I know I'm connected, Pastor? How do I know? This is how you find out. This is how you know. There must be something that proves that we are united with the Father and with the Son. There has to be something. Engrafted as part of them, and also in the unity, in the union with them. That something is the manner in which we conduct our life. That is the manner that we walk, that we carry ourselves, just that way. And here John is about to give the true marks of those who are in the Christian fellowship. The first evidence, the very first evidence is one thing, and that is obedience. That is the first evidence. We can have assurance concerning our relationship with our God if our life is characterized by a loving desire to do His will. By a will to always want to carry out His statutes, the things He has set for us to do. This is the very first thing, obedience. These verses are no doubt aimed at the Gnostics who profess to have a superior knowledge of God, but who show little interest in keeping the commandment of the Lord. John shows that such knowledge is hollow and worthless. And John describes the believer's obedience in a threefold way in the scripture that we just finished reading. First, he says in verses 3, by keeping his commandments, right? It's one thing for us to know the Ten Commandments and for us to know all these things that the Lord has instructed us in. And we know the Bible from cover to cover, and we're well versed in the scriptures, but if we don't keep them, It's worthless. This is found in verses 3. The next thing in verses 5, it says, by keeping his word. And then finally, in verses 6, it says, walking as he walked. Those three things, keeping his commandments, keeping his word, and walking as he walked. Finalizing it in verses 6. There is a definite progress in thought right now. It's a progression. To keep his commandments is one thing, and that is to obey the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ that is found in the New Testament. To keep his word means not only obedience to what is written, but the desire to do what we know would please our God. This is what it means by keeping his word. And to walk as he walked is the full expression of God's standards for his people. It means to live as our Lord Jesus lived. Hallelujah. Ultimately, it's quite simple. Just as that. John does not imply that the Christian life consists of faultless obedience to the will of God. No. He's not implying that we are going to be perfect. He's not implying that we're not going to have downfalls and difficulties and everything else, but rather that the Christian habitual desire coming from within, is to keep his commandments and to do those things that are pleasing in the sight of our God. John is looking at the overall tenor of a person's life. If someone says that he knows God but does not keep his commandments, then it is clear of just one thing, and that is, he is not telling the truth. The individual is not telling the truth. If you love the Lord, if you want to honor God, if you want to be connected to him, if you want to walk like our Lord Jesus walk, this is how you do it. You keep his commandments. And you know, language identifies people, and so does the clothing that they wear. If you walk into a store, a particular store, suppose you walk into a McDonald's, a Burger King. They're dressed a certain way, aren't they? They have on that shirt. If you found this worker, this individual, at the parking lot, you will know this person works right there inside, right? You just identify that person just by looking at them. Or, if you're walking into a store, let's say a little hole-in-the-wall grocery store, and everybody's only speaking Spanish, then you know they're all from South America or Central America or something like that. Right? You just identify that person based upon what you just heard, the language that they speak. And a person's name is probably the most common of all identifiers. But the Son of God, those in union with the Father and His Son, are identified by commandment keeping. This is how you are identified. You that ask, how do I know that I'm connected to the vine? How do I know that I'm connected with him? This is how you are identified to the world. By simple commandment keeping. It verifies that we are united with our Christ. And commandment keeping is love. Commandment keeping is love. And biblical love is an action, not a feeling. Let's keep that separated. Let's make sure we know the difference. Biblical love is an action, not merely a feeling. It may contain a positive feeling, even outright affection and passion for the ones who are recipients of the act of love. But its foundation lies in the act rather than the emotion. The foundation of Christianity is not founded on your feeling and you get the shakes and you do this and you hoopla and you jump around and you shout and you're like, man, this person, No. I'm not talking bad about this. If you want to shake, if you want to run around, if you want to wave a flag, if you want to jump around, you go ahead and do that, sir. You go ahead and do that, ma'am. Brothers and sisters in Christ, go ahead. Shout for joy. Dance. Just don't dance out of your clothing like David did. All right? Let's separate the two here. Decency and order. Nonetheless, by all means, sometimes I'm worshiping God and all of a sudden I start getting emotional. I tear up. I tear up by a song that I'm listening to. I tear up by a tune that I might be playing. Or I might get all stirred up inside during worship. There's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, we have to act this love. And commandment keeping is an action, not just merely a feeling. Acts of love without emotion can also be entirely sterile. This extreme is not biblical love. At the other extreme are those who emotionally say they love Christ. And what they say is probably true as far as their understanding of love goes. Their declaration of love for Him may be motivated by feeling awe and gratitude springing from a recognition that He is indeed a Creator, that He is indeed a Savior, a High Priest, and that this awesome being actually humbly sacrificed His life for them, personally. Yes. Often such people will then proceed then to simply just break the commandments, proving they do not know what love is. In that kind of relationship, folks, in that kind of relationship, feelings, your emotions, your feelings eventually will run dry. Along with the relationship and along with the union just ends when you are just operating off of your emotions instead of your actions. The love of the Bible is always first moral. This morality verifies we are yielding to our Maker, yielding to Him. John commands us in 1 John 2, verses 6, to walk as Jesus walked. And our Lord Jesus walked morally. This is how He was. And the only way we can be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ is to walk as He walked. This is the reason for our standing with God. This is that reason. We stand before Him as our Lord Jesus Christ for the very purpose of living life as He did, as closely as possible. We cannot say we do this perfectly, because our actions and our reactions, our tempers and our feelings, our sins of omission and commission, all those things, they betray us, revealing our continual need for the application of Christ's blood to restore our standing to the pristine standard of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, even if for only a short time. Our gratitude to God for His thoughtful foresight and merciful patience is thus renewed in the acknowledgement of our sins. And when we do this, our actions overcome all of this. Our deed of love to walk our Lord Jesus walked. Amen? Amen. So therefore, let us keep His commandments. Let us stay true to His word. Let us walk as our Lord Jesus walked. Let us keep His word, because when you do so, you are truly connected with your God. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. We shall conclude this short Bible study with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless Your holy name. Lord, we exalt You. And Lord, we want to always be connected with You. We always, Lord, want to be in unity, in union, Lord, in communion, in oneness. We want to walk, Lord, as You walk. We want, Lord, Your presence everywhere we go. Lord, we pray that we will continue, Lord, obey Your commandments, obey Your word, to do everything, Lord, You instructed us to do, because, Lord, we love You. And may it just not be, Lord, an emotion. May it just not be, Lord, words that come out of our mouth. May it also be, Lord, our deeds and all that we do. We glorify Your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.